what happens is we tend to initiate so many ideas and nothing gets done. None of them are worked on because the creative energy is so vast and so unfocused. But then when you have the female attribute of Gevura, it's interesting because Gevura means strength. And so women have a certain strength that comes from that Gevura aspect. Now, every man has that both inside of us, but we should be able to tap into that Chesed side and say, you know what? Now that I have 20 possible ideas for a product, I have to take that Gevura side of me and say, which one am I going to work on, make my project for this particular time in my life?
I'm Junaid Ahmed, host of Hacks and Hobbies podcast and a digital presence advisor at HumbleZone. This episode is brought to you by Home Studio Mastery. I launched a consultation and course program to help podcasters and course creators to create a space in their homes that'll reduce the friction of creating content and appearing their best when showing up on camera. The pandemic gave us a lot of issues, but this one is here to stay. We're now so much closer to our audience thanks to video becoming more popular and affordable. I help guide folks who want to create Hollywood-worthy studios to not only capture great content, but also build more confidence, more authority, and be more comfortable in front of the camera. If I can do it, you can too. And with my help, you can do it faster. So if you'd like to learn more, visit homestudiomastery.com and how you too can create a home studio that brings out your personality, professionalism, and possibilities.
Thank you for tuning in to Hacks and Hobbies with your host, Junaid. We're visited by our amazing guests coming from all walks of life. We want to learn their story, their struggles, and their journey on how they got to where they are today. So stick around.
Today we get to speak with David Green. He grew up non-religious, immersed in Hollywood music scene at the age of 16. But then he studied composition at the Indiana Music School. He moved to Israel and discovered his true self, his unique soul and purpose in this world. His music blossomed, and for the last 30 years, he's been living as an author, teacher, and musician, helping thousands of people discover the infinitely precious soul that lies within all of us. For a livelihood, he's an inventor, patenting and selling to companies. He's got some really amazing inventions that help you walk even more comfortably. These are called Eden Souls. You can check them out on his website, edensouls.com. But before you do that, let's jump into this episode and listen to David H. Green. David, thank you so much for coming on to the podcast.
Thank you. It's a pleasure being here.
David, I understand that you've got a very diverse background. You've been in a lot of different areas of expertise, areas of passion, compassion, and you've got a really beautiful story. So let's start there.
Okay, sounds good. I grew up in Toronto. And I grew up in a very secular environment, not religious at all. And all I really cared about, other than girls, was my success in the music industry. And everything I was doing was to try to make it big. I was 16 years old, and I had this vision that if I was 20 years old and I hadn't made it big, I was like over the hill at 20. It was this kind of overly ambitious teenager, like knocking on doors, not afraid of anything, just like ready to go big time in Hollywood. And what happened was by the time I was 18, I was recording an album in Los Angeles with a really amazing producer, arranger named Gene Page. And Gene was nominated in the past for previous Grammy Awards, and he was nominated again that year, and he couldn't make it. So he asked me to accept his Grammy on his behalf. And I was this 18-year-old then, and I'm like, this is like a dream come true. I'm going to rub shoulders with all these people. They're going to think that I'm really successful, and then I'll play it up and make good connections, and everything would be, then I'll be successful. I came from somewhere like a snobby jazz musician where you're not allowed to sacrifice your artistic integrity for the sake of being successful in pop music. So I tried to do that in my music. I tried to be very unique and everything, but there was one musician that was there who was like my idol. He had a band that had a pop hit, but he was extremely careful not to sound poppy. It was like very successful hit. And I saw him there, and I had this vision when I saw him there that made me feel like I have to completely change my life. And that vision was him looking totally depressed.
Wow.
How could my God be depressed? Like, how could my idol, the person I was running after, becoming like that? And he looked depressed. And I don't know, subconsciously or consciously or the combination of the two, I said to myself, you know what? I better run after being happy and use my music as an expression of that, as opposed to running after the success and being an unhappy person. And I needed to figure out that formula. So I backstep and decided to go to university, to music school in Bloomington, Indiana, where I studied music composition. And there, everyone was running after being that guy in Hollywood, out of touch. But I developed my orchestration skills and all kinds of stuff like that. And then I decided, you know what? I have a very confused religious background. Like, on one hand, I rejected it. And on the other hand, I wanted it. And I was living on the fence, which is a very unhappy place to be, living on the fence. And there's a lot of people in life, they don't know how to make choices. So they're living on the fence. And that's the opposite of inner peace. So I decided I would go to Israel, where I could study about my own heritage. And when I got there, I was so inspired that my music just came alive. That was the best thing for my music.
Yeah.
And that was a process of discovering who I am. And that's something that I've been developing in books that I've written, in music that I write. My album, first album, was called Journey to the Real You. My first book was called A Book About You. And for 30 years, I've been teaching people how to discover their inner selves so they can be far more successful at what they do and happy with what they do. And it's an interesting thing that you deal with entrepreneurials, because I find the same part of the brain that writes music is the same part of my brain that invents technology.
Yeah.
And I, like, my biggest success so far in technology was I had a company called Side by Side, where you can see yourself on television with Mickey Mouse, like, dancing next to you, or you can learn karate by immersing yourself in the body of the karate instructor on screen and follow their directions, so you can actually see what you're doing. And I sold that. I got an offer of a tremendous amount of money. And then there was 9/11, and a lot of the investors pulled out. But I had a deal with Disney for licensing deals, and I just sold the whole thing, and they gave me their deposit. That's the money I used to live on for many years. It's an interesting thing that discovering myself means discovering what my strengths and weaknesses are, and applying that to my teaching, applying that to my writing, applying it to my music, and very much so applying it to my business.
That's really unique. I love the journey that you took, right? You got into music because who doesn't like music? And then having that mindset that, hey, I want to make it really big early on. And you did. And then, okay, now what's next? A lot of the times we all think about it's all about the destination, but it's really about the journey that we take that gets us there to the destination, which helps us grow. And that is essentially what you did. You went to Israel, discovered your true self, and which enabled you to create even more unique and really, like, the music spoke, or you spoke through the music, the creativity that you brought, the mindset that you had. It really comes into true form when we put in the time and energy into growing.
That's a fascinating thing. What you just said is, in terms of the journey, I think I saved myself at least 30 years of sweating in Hollywood to be as successful as possible, and then find out that there was something missing in my life. And unfortunately, a lot of very successful Hollywood personalities suffer from deep depression and their suicide rate is very high. So I had that vision that saved me all those years of running after something which isn't what I really wanted. And so that's exactly what happened to me. And I was able to then lift up and transport myself into a new environment, which was so much healthier for me. And ironically, that's when I did so much more music. I had a jazz band. I performed every Saturday night. I got all these gigs playing piano on these albums. I was writing music for various educational stories and things like that. Meanwhile, I was involved in the film industry, and I did a film with Martin Short that Disney ended up distributing. All that came out of a very different David Green than the one that was running after that Hollywood image. And I just thank God all the time for having shortcutted that, what could have been a very dangerous process.
Man, I love that so much, because you having that hindsight, people say, oh, we could have done that in hindsight. But fortunate for you, you have that foresight to see what is happening in the industry. And that's not the image that you're looking for to create for yourself. So finding yourself is truly something that a lot more people are thinking about now more than ever, especially with what happened in the past couple of years. We've been locked in our rooms to be by ourselves to really find out what really makes us happy. Now, what's funny is Gary Vaynerchuk's been talking about self-awareness, be happy, do the things that bring you joy for years and years. But it wasn't till the pandemic hit is when people really had the time to think, because before that, everybody would just go, I want to go do this, I want to do this, I want to do this. So you're jumping around from one ship to another ship, not even taking a minute to think about what it is that brings you fulfillment.
Exactly. And it's interesting. One of the lessons I teach people in terms of self-discovery is based on the first two words said to Abraham. And those first two words were lech lecha, which means go to yourself. So that was a process of self-discovery, that, and the fact that those are the first two words means they're very significant. We always look at the first things, first time something is said in the Bible as a basis to know what its true meaning is. And to say lech lecha, go to yourself, means one is remove yourself from distraction. Abraham was told to leave the home that he came from because it was a home of idol worship, and it was a bad influence on him. So he had to clear his mind of all the trash that he was brought up with, all the distractions like we have today of our phones and all the messages of having to be like those people who are successful in their way. And then the next point, after you leave, then there's a process of discovering you, lecha, to yourself. And what I developed was a whole system based on the forefathers on how to discover your specific personality. Mm-hmm. There's this idea that there, at the time of the prophets, there were thousands of prophets who could look at you and say, your personality is this type of person, your strengths and weaknesses are this, and your mission in the world is that. And we don't have them anymore to tell us that. But what they saw is still inside of us, which means that I can dig down deep into who I am. And if I keep digging, I will eventually find who I am, what my personality is, what my strengths and weaknesses, and what my mission is in this world. Yeah. The problem is, because people don't, that treasure is inside them, they don't invest the time to dig down deep. Yeah. And what you were saying before about the pandemic, that is a step closer. I don't think people dug that down that far down.
Not as far, yeah.
But if you go out in your backyard and start digging for a gold mine and not having any idea where the gold mine is, you're wasting your time. But if I could tell you that there's a gold mine inside of you, and if you keep digging, you're going to find it. So then it's a completely different process of digging, because you know that you're going to get it. And the truth is, every shovelful that you dig out from within yourself you will feel the progress. You're getting closer and closer, but that closeness is just like in a relationship. A relationship doesn't start when you're madly in love and intimate with each other, but rather it starts at the beginning and comes closer and closer. Same thing with the relationship with yourself. As exactly. you come closer, you get to know who that is and more until you actually then embrace that true picture of who you are and live that life. And you're no longer living on the fence at that point because you have the goods and therefore you can really live the life that you are here to live.
Man, that is so beautiful. It actually reminds me of a story of Isaac. I think it was Isaac or anyways, the story is this man lives in this town and he is not rich at all. He's very poor. He barely has any food to eat. He goes to sleep and he has a dream. And in the dream, it says, go to this palace and underneath the bridge, you'll find a treasure. He wakes up the next morning. Oh, that's just a dream. Forget it's about it. Next day, the same dream comes. He's okay, whatever. The third day, the dream comes again. He's okay. This is the third day, same dream over and over. I have to go figure out what this is. So he packs it. He grabs whatever he needs, and then he leaves to go to this town. It takes him maybe a day or 2 days, a journey, to get to this main city, and he sees a castle, and there's the castle. He's okay, I need to go underneath the bridge and see where the treasure is buried. But there's guards at the palace, and he's like, oh my God, how am I gonna do? So he waits the whole day. The next day he comes back. He's like, you know what? Fine. I'm just gonna go and talk to this man. And he goes over and he's looking around, and the person, the head of all the soldiers comes to him, the general, and he says, hey, what are you doing here? What's going on? He's like, it sounds stupid, but I've had a dream about a treasure. And the general starts laughing. He's like, you are a funny man. You wasted your life chasing a dream. If I had a similar dream, then I would go to this town, I'll go to the house of this man and dig underneath his stove, and there's a treasure. So it's okay, thank you so much. Turns out the name of the man that he mentioned was this same person. So he travels back to his home and digs underneath his stove, and he finds the treasure.
Right. And all he had to do was look at home and find himself. I have to tell you, I was listening very carefully.
Yeah.
Because I have that story in one of my books. It's a different story, slightly.
Yeah.
There's actually a synagogue. The guy said, when I find this, it was Prague. Mm-hmm. And when he returned home and he found it, he said, I want to donate this money.
Yes.
To a synagogue, which was in his neighbor. And that synagogue still stands today. And
it's the same story. I just forgot all the names. And it's a children's storybook. And I was like, this is so fascinating. I like telling the story because it shows you that the treasure is inside of us. We just have to take the journey to go find it. And that was the journey that he had to go and find and get a confirmation from somebody else that, hey, the treasure's inside of you. You need to go and dig in.
And also what I try to emphasize is that the way to get there you need techniques. You can't just dig, like, how do I know how to dig?
Exactly.
So what I give on my website, there's a personality quiz based on three primary personalities. Just there's three colors that are our primary colors. There's three primary personalities that are based on Kabbalistic attributes of God. And so those three attributes called Chesed, Gvura, and Tiferet, every one of us are rooted in one of those more than the other. And if you can know which one you are, it helps dig further. It helps you get further down because you're looking for, wow, I'm rooted in kindness. I'm rooted in love. It's that type of personality is also going to have certain weaknesses. And now I don't have to get down on myself for those weaknesses. And so it's a very positive, uplifting process that a person goes through by using the wisdom of understanding, what a person is truly made of in order to discover what they as an individual are made of.
Man, I love this conversation, and I can see what inspired you, what kept you motivated in going this direction, because you, as you discover yourself, you create this content, you create this music, which then re-empowers you, reinvigorates us. And the more we do this, the more we see the value of what we are discovering. So thank you so much, man. That was really beautiful. Let's take a quick break and we will be right back. We might hear some music from David, so you never know. So we'll be right back after these messages.
I'm Junaid Ahmed, host of Hacks and Hobbies podcast and a digital presence advisor at HumbleZone. This episode is brought to you by Home Studio Mastery. I launched a consultation and course program to help podcasters and course creators to create a space in their homes that'll reduce the friction of creating content and appearing their best when showing up on camera. The pandemic gave us a lot of issues, but this one is here to stay. We're now so much closer to our audience thanks to video becoming more popular and affordable. I help guide folks who want to create Hollywood-worthy studios to not only capture great content, but also build more confidence, more authority, and be more comfortable in front of the camera. If I can do it, you can too. And with my help, you can do it faster. So if you'd like to learn more, visit homestudiomastery.com and how you too can create a home studio that brings out your personality, professionalism, and possibilities.
Hey guys, welcome back. I hope you enjoyed the music. Music was created by David H. Green. It's part of his album called Journey to the Real You. Well, that's the name of the song. And
it's also the title song for the album called of the same name.
There you go. That's the title of the song as well. The album that you can find on Spotify. If you want to go listen to the rest of the song, you can just tap on the link in the description and be able to get to that song. Thank you so much, David, for sharing that song with us.
My pleasure.
Now let's jump into, let's jump into the three hacks that you have got for us.
Okay. The first one I'm going to give you is for somebody who is an inventor. And people often say to me, like, how do I patent my technology? I'm afraid someone's going to rip me off. And how do I know whether someone else has done it already before? This is a very important tip or hack to utilize. There's something called patent pending, which means it's you filed the patent at a certain date and you maintain the rights to that technology from that date, as long as it's not infringing on anyone else's technology. Mm-hmm. So if you come up with an idea and then go on the US patent site and do a search for things that are similar to that, what you do is you look for a big enough window between previous, like what's called prior art, previous inventions, to make sure that you're clear of them. Mm-hmm. But then you file it online for $160 rather than $16,000. You pay like $160 or something like that. Uh-huh. And you put a description in, you make some pictures of it. And even though it's professionally done by a patent lawyer, you now have a patent pending status. And what may happen as you look at the surrounding patents that have been approved, you may say, you know what? That is a little bit too much like that. Let me make some changes in order to make it clear of any other patent. And then you can start shopping around that patent and show it to companies, because you are actually protected, even though it hasn't been officially approved by the by the patent office in the United States. You now have a patentable, a registered file, and therefore you're allowed to share it with that. Because even if something's accepted, it may take years before your patent's going to be accepted. You don't want to wait around until then. So that, the fact that it starts as soon as you put that in, you are now ready to go. And then you'll know how much to invest in patent lawyers based on what the reaction is of the people you're trying to sell it to. So for, I have a product that's an insole that I developed that I want to integrate into shoes. So by shopping it around and seeing what the reaction is, I knew that, wow, there's enough potential here that I'm willing to now start spending my money on the lawyers to be able to actually get the patent accepted. And it's a long and very expensive process, but I'm only doing that because I saw the reaction of the people I showed it to in the industry, and therefore I was able to continue from there. And if the reaction was negative, then I could say, okay, go on to another invention. Part of being an inventor, I'm going to call this the second half.
Yeah, for sure.
Part of being an inventor is like the invention mind. It has to do with these three personality types, but there's something called the chesed personality. It's one that produces a lot of potential. It's considered the male attribute, and biologically, the male is the one who is producing all this potential for life, and the female is the reciprocal for that, that turns it into something real. So if there wasn't, for example, that you have the sun and the moon are doing the same thing. This moon is receiving the light of the sun, and that's why we see it. And the moon isn't creating any light, it's only receiving it. So the nature of the sun, the nature of those things that initiate ideas, what happens is we tend to initiate so many ideas and nothing gets done. None of them are worked on because the creative energy is so vast and so unfocused. But then when you have the female attribute of Gevura, it's interesting because Gevura means strength. And so women have a certain strength that comes from that Gevura aspect. Now, every man has that both inside of us, but we should be able to tap into that chesed side and say, you know what? Now that I have 20 possible ideas for a product, I have to take that Gevura side of me and say, which one am I going to work on, make my project for this particular time in my life? And I have filing cabinets full of ideas that I just didn't decide. I decided, you know what? I'll test it out a little bit, but it's not my priority. It's funny of some of the ones I wasted time on too, because but I didn't look at the business opportunity as much. But so that's another thing, is know that if you're an inventor, that one of the most important things to do as an entrepreneur is to decide what you want to do. It sounds so basic, but if you have an outpouring of many ideas, then the ability to stop and decide which one you're going to go with, and then say, okay, now I'm going to put myself 100% into that particular choice. And that's something which applies throughout life. Like if you have decisions you have to make in life, you can't sit there like in college, I used to go to a party and then there'd be another party down the road and I want to meet my true love. So I go to one party and she's not there. So maybe I should go to the other party. But maybe she went to the first party while I was at the other party. And then I end up not enjoying any party. Why? Because I'm too busy in living and dancing at two weddings at the same time.
Yeah.
So same thing in our decisions in life. We have to learn how to take the thing that we want to do and decide which one that is, and then throw ourselves into it 100%. And if we don't do that, then we're not going to do a good job of it, because we're split between different opportunities. And even though you may be a workaholic working around the clock on trying to make something happen, it may not happen because you're working on something without ever having truly decided that's the best option for you to take.
I agree. Wow. That's powerful.
Okay.
The last one
is that we're all rooted in one of those personalities. And if you can tap into which one you really are, which I suggest through my website on the personality quiz, then you can design a life around what really makes you excited. People wait for 6 months to be able to go on a holiday, and they go on this cruise or whatever it may be. And that's where they go to enjoy life. I say, you know what? Discover who you are. Find out what makes you thrive. Like for me, I thrive in the recording studio. When I'm in the studio, there's a whole like storage of energy just comes pouring out. I can spend 24 hours straight in the studio. And knowing that makes me say, okay, you know what? I better make a big dose of my life with utilizing that type of creativity. It doesn't have to be strictly the recording studio, but that type of creativity of putting pieces together. And if I tap into that, then I'm enjoying my life every day. I don't have to wait to go on a holiday to enjoy my life. I'm designing my career around what truly makes me happy. And then I'm far more productive and effective at it because it's coming from a place that's really deep inside of me that is like a reservoir of energy.
I think what you're mentioning here is something that Gay Hendricks talks about in his book, The Big Leap. It's the genius zone. It activates Einstein time where everything slowed down. You're no longer looking at time from a perspective of it being slow, but rather fully enjoying yourself when you're in that mode. So thank you so much for sharing. I love it.
My pleasure.
All right. Now we're going to go down to the question that I like to ask my guests. Number one, what is the one hobby that you wish you got into?
The one hobby that I wish I got into? The truth is, I wish at a younger stage I got into learning Talmudic studies, because for me, that's a very important value to me, but I started late in my life. And it's much harder to learn a language later in your life. So for me, what Talmudic studies does is it makes you analyze things and understand deep legal concepts of what's considered stealing. If I borrow your pen without asking you and I start writing, maybe the ink in the pen is considered yours, so I shouldn't have taken it without asking.
Right, yeah.
What is considered, at what point I'm allowed to shoot somebody who's chasing after me with a gun, which has to do with, there's tremendous amount of ramifications of that. I wish I would have placed myself within an environment that had given me those skills at a much younger age, because it would have, for one, I think it's a big responsibility for me as a Jewish person to do that, but it's also would have developed my mind on a much higher level.
Wow, I love it. That's very deep, man. Next question, what did you want to be when you were a child?
When I was a child, it depends on what age you're talking about. Before I immersed myself in music, I thought I'd be an architect. And then I worked for an architect for 2 weeks, and I couldn't imagine ever becoming an architect.
Sure.
Because the only one who has a chance to be creative as the architect was the head guy, the guy who owns the plan. And everyone else is just drawing plans, even though now it's all done on computers. But back then there were drawing boards, and I was told to move this wall like 3 feet this way or 3 feet that way. And I said, I'm a technician here. There's no creative energy here for it.
Yeah.
But my family, it comes from, it's like now three generations of land developers, builders in Canada. And so I thought, well, I'm creative. I want to be the creative guy, but I'll be the creative guy in the business of land development.
Yeah.
And I said, no way, after working for there. So my vision as a child was shattered. And then music became the passion that I wanted and the passion that I pursued as well.
I love it. Yeah, because music, you're immediately being creative and creating new pieces of art, as opposed to when you're working on a plan, on a big development. No, only the head architect gets to create those fancy stuff. And then we're just workers in the hay.
And the head architect doesn't even see his product created until months later, or here in Israel, years later, because it takes forever to build here.
The return on, what's that word? The return on creation time. I'm sure there's a word for it.
Yeah.
From inception to actually producing it, it's a long number. Our next question, what is your favorite movie or TV show?
My favorite TV show growing up was Get Smart.
That is a fun show for sure.
That was like, there was one episode where they got away. Mel Brooks, he got away with such racist humor. It's unbelievable.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Back then, he got away with it. And at the risk of sounding racist, there was one scene where one of the criminals was called the Claw, which is C-L-A-W,
yeah.
The Claw. And he had on his hand, it was a fake hand. It was amputated. So he had a claw, a metal claw. And the Chinese couldn't pronounce L. So he said, it's the craw, not the craw.
Yeah,
but the craw. And so Get Smart, Don Adams says, no, that's what I said, the craw. And they, like, in the middle of arresting this guy, they're having this argument that goes back and forth for 3 minutes of, no, not the craw, but the craw. And he said, okay, fine, you're under arrest. So he was, I think it was hilarious. The other one was Monty Python. I was a big fan of Monty Python growing up.
Those are quite classics and really original comedy for sure. I love it. People still mimic those in newer movies developed recently. All right. Next question is all still in the movie realm. What movie would you choose if you, David, got to play a character in it?
Whoa. If I got to play a character in it, you have to know that I haven't watched much movies in like 30 years. So
sure.
I have to go quite a way back. I'd love to play Forrest Gump.
Forrest Gump. Oh my God. Yeah, that is such a classic. Nobody can say they haven't seen Forrest Gump because it was such an iconic movie. Really well done. Awesome. I love it. Next question. Who is your favorite superhero or a superhero power that you like?
My as a superhero power is God Almighty, our Father in heaven, who created this world. There couldn't be anything greater than the one who created us. If there's a human that's a genius, then there's a God who's more of a genius who created us. And as a religious person, I spend much of my time devoted to understanding what God is. My books are all based on religious concepts, and therefore, as a ultimate power, it's God. Then I turn to those who I feel understand God and life the best. So there are tremendous sages around today that I would love to be able to spend time with. They're my heroes, so to speak.
Man, thank you so much for sharing it. It's very important to know who our heroes are because it helps us guide where we want to be. And when we see somebody going through the journey, going through the path and following the true guidance, because what is the reason that we are on this earth? It is to worship God. And that's basically it. And we do that in many different ways.
Right.
So thank you so much for that. Love it.
My pleasure.
Last question. If you were a board game, what would it be?
It's got to be chess.
Nice.
How could it not be chess?
Yeah. I mean, yeah. It's got to be chess.
Every move is a whole world.
Very calculated. Yeah.
Yeah. Calculated. Although I hate playing it, but it's that's where I would be in. I'd be in. I don't know what man I would be on the board.
Yeah.
I don't know if I want to be the king.
The king or.
Yeah.
Awesome. Yeah. Thank you so much, David, for this conversation. I really appreciate your wisdom, your stories, and what kept you motivated and inspired throughout this journey. And best of luck on securing these patents and working with the companies that you mentioned in the green room. We're not going to mention them here, but where can the superpreneurs listening to the episode find you?
First of all, in terms of my educational content and my music, realyouproject.com is the link to all of that side of who I am, that educational, my music, the personality quiz, it's all on realyouproject.com.
Nice.
Then my inventions, the one that's alive now that's you can find on is called Eden Souls. And my website is edensouls.com, EDENSOLES souls.com, like the Garden of Eden and souls, a play on the word souls. That's not S-O-U-L, it's S-O-L-E. So it's Eden Souls, and you can find those. And if anybody would like to buy millions of Eden Souls, they can reach me at david@edensouls.com. And perfect. Also, if you're interested in, I actually have now my book called A Book About You, which is all about your different personalities, which is very helpful in the business world, by the way. A big publisher called Morgan James asked me to revise the book to make it more suitable for the non-Jewish world as well. So that's now out there by Morgan James, and it's on Amazon and can be reached from that my website as well.
Perfect, David. I will be sure to include all of these links into the podcast show notes so that folks can get to it real quickly. Thank you again so much for your time. This was a lot of fun. And we'll catch you in the next episode.
Thank you so much for taking the time to listen to this episode on Hacks and Hobbies. We absolutely appreciate your contribution. You can find additional notes on hacksandhobbies.com. Please share the podcast with your friends and tell them what you learned about our guest today.